Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a track by an incredibly popular seven-man band from the 70s that seemed to do one thing better than any other act, and that was make the ending portions of their records exciting. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we present a well-crafted single from 1960 that truly should have been a major hit. Unlike a lot of records that were released into immediate oblivion, this one had a chart life of 12 weeks, but still only managed to reach number 47. Later, we will examine a single that contained tiny snippets of a classical masterpiece, Suite No. 3 in D major, composed by Johann Sebastian Bach, sometime around the year 1730. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate a Grammy-winning single that, during its first release, only reached number 113. But when the producers of a major motion picture used the song as a filler for test screenings while waiting on the commissioned songs to be completed, they fell in love with it and gave it new life. But first, just as we do each week, we begin calling today's countdown with a song that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then just couldn't find the sound. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we come alive with a song written by a couple of members of the band Chelsea about another band member's wife named Becky, who often called during the group's rehearsals anxious for her man to return home. After a small taste of success in the early 70s, Chelsea split up. Their drummer found another band to join, and pretty soon, his looks, at least on stage, changed significantly. When this drummer's new band was a song short for their fourth album, producer Bob Ezrin heard the drummer's partially finished selection and wrote a beautiful piano part for the song that he played himself. Then, Ezrin scored orchestral parts for several members of the New York Philharmonic to play. Even though the other guys in the band didn't want the song with strings on the album, label president Neil Bogart insisted and even placed it as the B-side of the group's next single, Detroit Rock City.
If I hear you calling, but I can't come home right now. Me and the boys are playing, and we just can't find the sound. Just a few more hours, and I'll be right home to you. I think I hear them calling. What can I do? What can I do? You say you feel so empty that our house just ain't a home.
Oh,
spending a week at number 40 on its way down from a peak at number 7 in Record World, Billboard, and Cashbox. That was Kiss with Beth, the Peter Criss song that began its chart life as a B-side until DJ Rosalie Trombley at CKLW in Windsor, Canada, flipped the record over at her daughter's insistence and broke it internationally.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
At number 20, we have a somewhat obscure album track that was released on the Virgin label back in 1990. While it never caught on nationally as a top 40 hit, the song received heavy airplay on radio station WDRE, New York City's modern rock powerhouse. I can specifically remember the first time I ever heard the song while I was in New York to visit Trend lead vocalist Matt Collier. Not long after Matt moved to New York, he discovered WDRE and sent me numerous cassettes containing air checks of the station. The very first time I heard WDRE in person, this amazing song by The Origin came on. I bought it in Manhattan within an hour of hearing it. Track that, at the very least, should have reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and in England. That was the four-man modern rock act called The Origin and Set Sails Free, a track that contained an absolutely brilliant acoustic guitar part. Incidentally, I apologize for the tinny sound on that selection. I was literally playing the same now-worn-out factory cassette of The Origin's album that I bought in New York in 1990.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a single by a group that placed 21 entries onto the three major American charts, beginning in the late 60s and into the mid 70s. This particular rock act had the ability to turn the fade-out sections of their songs into something that sounded like a party. Songs like Joy to the World and Black and White featured long fades that none of us wanted to end. It was as if they had converted the recording studio into a celebration. To drive the point home on this track, during the fade, the seven members of Three Dog Night got a little bit of help from three guys from Chicago, their horn section.
Slipping away, sitting on a pillow, waiting for night to fall. Girl in a dream, sitting on a pillow, this is the night.
Let's go to the celebrity ball.
Satin and lace, isn't it a pity?
World, number 15 in Billboard, and number 8 in Canada. That was the ABC Dunhill Recording Act Three Dog Night and Celebrate, a song written by Gary Bonner and Alan Gordon, the same writers that composed Happy Together for the Turtles.
Number 10.
Now we are up to number 10. It is a new wave dance track from 1982, produced by Kenny Laguna and Richie Cordell, the same production team responsible for the punchy sound on last week's Hall of Perfection track, Joan Jett's version of I Love Rock and Roll. Once again, the producers were working with a band fronted by an extremely talented female vocalist. While putting together this group's debut album for RCA Records, they crafted a top 10 new wave hit on the British charts by covering the Strange Love's old single that reached number 11 in 1965, I Want Candy, which incidentally was co-written by the writer of Twist and Shout, Burt Burns, one of the two founders of Sire Records, Richard Gotterher, the writer of My Boyfriend's Back, Bob Feldman, and Jerry Goldstein, who we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, as the manager of the band War.
Number 9.
While I Want Candy was a clever cover, our focus today is on the band's next single, one that was written by the band itself. It became a dance club staple during the early 80s, even though its chart action did not reflect its club appeal. I absolutely loved this record from the moment I first heard it on KCOU in Columbia, Missouri.
He's a man I had never seen, but my Jesus told me so. He's a man with cash in his hands, my baby, oh no. Late Friday night when I'm feeling alright, I'm so ready to go with my baby, oh no. But baby, oh no, you make me lose my self-control. I go crazy, whoa, if baby, oh no.
Edited 12-inch single version of a song that should have, at the very least, reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was the new wave dance group managed by Sex Pistols manager Malcolm McLaren, Bow Wow Wow, featuring the lead vocals of Annabella Lynn and Baby Oh No.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have yet another single that was released on the label that had that amazing five-year run we discussed last week, RSO Records. Today's number nine comes from the recording act that had the greatest amount of success during the RSO Golden Age, the Bee Gees. However, when the Brothers Gibb entered Criteria Studios in Miami with producer Arif Mardin, they were actually trying to come out of a three-year chart slump with a new sound. This new sound had a heavier bass and a backbeat that was similar to some of the newer rhythmic acts of the time, George McRae and the Hughes Corporation. Those two acts, along with Barry White, MFSB, and the single Whatever Gets You Through the Night by John Lennon, were being called disco by some influential New York DJs in 1974 because of their repeated play in discotheques or dance clubs that played records. The word discotheque is literally the French word for library of phonograph records.
Follow you did not want me to.
Way to a peak of number 7 in Billboard, 7 in Record World, and number 4 in Cashbox. Those were the Bee Gees and Nights on Broadway, recorded at Criteria Studios under the guidance of producer Arif Mardin, who, on one fateful night, asked Barry Gibb if any of them could scream in falsetto, in tune. And the rest is history.
Universe Top 40!
Auden and Gray should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is modern and great and ought to reach number 8. It is so modern that it was completed only 2 weeks ago. With it being such a new recording, it certainly still has the capability of climbing one of several charts to reach the coveted number 8 position. The artist behind this brand new instrumental is an experienced guitarist who has worked with such distinguished recording acts as Steve Winwood, Don McLean, Dolly Parton, Rod Stewart, Felix Cavalieri, and Brian Wilson. He has teamed with session players such as Leland Sklar, Jim Horn, Brent Mason, and the guy who played the solo we heard last week on Mad Love by Linda Ronstadt, Dan Dugmore. Well, after having been cooped up in a single music room for several weeks because of the coronavirus, Nashville guitarist Michael Sievers decided it was time that he give the Brian Wilson song In My Room a Duane Eddy treatment. After he shared this new arrangement on social media, I asked him if I could play it on the show. He totally agreed, so here it is. Brian Wilson meets Duane Eddy in the form of Michael Sievers.
Thank you.
a song that is modern and great and should at some point in the very near future hit number 8. That was Michael Sievers, who, in addition to those acts I mentioned a moment ago, played lead guitar for me on my Yellow Pills solo tracks, Taking Me Somewhere and The Thought of Your Name.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is a rock and roll, rhythm and blues, and pop hybrid from 1960 that had a steady chart life for a solid 12 weeks, but only reached number 47. You will agree, once you hear it, that it should have charted at least 40 notches higher than it did. Jimmy Charles was born in Paterson, New Jersey in 1943. Not much is known about his early childhood, but when he was 16, his uncle took him to the Apollo Theater in New York and entered him into the amateur contest there. Amazingly, he won 4 consecutive weeks, which caused record executives in the city to go after him. Jimmy signed a deal with Bill Lashley's label Promo Records and took the song A Million to One to number 8 on the R&B charts and up to number 5 on the pop charts. Returning to the recording studio, Jimmy cut his follow-up song using a group of his friends from New Jersey, the Revelettes, as background vocalists. Those sessions resulted in this amazing record, The Age for Love, which, all these years later, sounds like a top 10 hit of the day. But, for reasons unknown, the chart action on the record was erratic. While it had a relatively long life, it never climbed any higher than number 47. London Records picked up the single for a British release, but Jimmy's chart fortunes there were not any better. Back in the States, he recorded 3 Christmas songs, but did not have a hit with any of the 3. The lack of a follow-up hit proved to cause an early ending to Jimmy's chart career and also signaled the end of the Promo Record Company. According to Brian Lee of KVMR-FM, these days, Jimmy Charles is alive and well in Texas, still singing when he gets the chance, and talking about his brief career to disc jockeys of good time oldies stations that remember him. We certainly do, and we believe that his single, The Age for Love, is truly a little slice of heaven.
Too young to be in love, they say. Too young to know the score. When will we come to the age for love? That's what we're waiting for. We know our love would pass the test if we could have the chance.
Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was Jimmy Charles, recorded in New York at the age of 17 by producer Bill Lashley, and his single that stalled at number 47 but should have reached number 7, The Age for Love. C. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Veshek from Johannesburg, South Africa, heard our 6070 kilohertz broadcast last week while he was trapped, so to speak, in the Czech Republic, unable to leave Prague because of the coronavirus. He reports 35444 and states that he is truly enjoying the program because of the music that one does not hear every day. Well, Veshek, we appreciate your reception report and we sincerely hope you make it home to South Africa safely and soon. Tang from China heard our 7440 kilohertz broadcast and tells us he is extremely interested in our show. He says that his hobby is collecting QSL cards and various promotional materials from the world of radio. He also sends us his best wishes from China. Well, Tang, we will certainly send you a QSL card very soon, and we send you our best wishes right now. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's master songwriter has certainly done that. But, unlike most of the material that has filled his successful albums, the bonus hit that we are playing today is a song he didn't write. In fact, it was written by a friend of his who was doing some producing. That friend produced a single for himself and then drafted this artist at number 6 to sing the flip side of the single. That flip side began to get a large amount of airplay, which caused Columbia Records in the United States to take notice. It was added as the last track of this artist's 1979 album, Armed Forces. A video was also made, which received recurrent play on MTV a few years later.
As I walk through this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is the only I want to know,
our bonus hit at number 6. That was Elvis Costello, along with The Attractions, and their version of a song both written and produced by their friend, Nick Lowe, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have another selection by a group that I discovered completely by accident in Oxford, Mississippi, The Crime. Several months ago, we featured The Crime and their amazingly cool track, Trudy's Got a New Boy, a song that I heard on a rock station out of New Albany, Mississippi, the very next day after their show in Oxford. Today, we have another track by The Crime that received airplay, a song called Donna Lee. While the station in New Albany stuck to Trudy, the jocks at WLYX in Memphis gave numerous spins to Donna Lee, which had a quicker tempo and was far less British in its tone. On the radio, Donna Lee sounded like it might have been by the Long Riders or Jason and the Scorchers. Regardless of comparisons, though, this record was certainly The Crime, and they reproduced it live incredibly well. While it never made any of the three major American charts, it should have been released on a vinyl 45 and should have reached number 5. That was the four-man rock act from Memphis known as The Crime, and a selection produced by the ever-present Jack Holder, Don Lee.
All Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number 4, which means we are going to play a song that charted considerably better in England than it did in the United States. Today's single did quite well in the U.S., hitting number 5, but because it hit number 1 in the U.K., we can say it charted significantly better there. The 5-man British rock band Procol Harum straddled the boundaries between classical music, album rock, and progressive rock. When they released their signature single, Whiter Shade of Pale, right out of the gate, co-writers Gary Brooker, Keith Reid, and Matthew Fisher impressed some of the old guard in the London classical music scene as they noticed the similarities of the song's organ part with Johann Sebastian Bach's Air on a G-String, the second movement of his suite in D major, a masterpiece believed to have been completed in 1730.
We skip the life and fandango, turns cartwheels.
the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. The crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling. At first, just go sleep. Turn the wider shade of fear.
Its way to number one on the British charts, that was Procol Harum and Whiter Shade of Pale, a recording that shared the Brit Award with Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen as the greatest pop single for the 25-year period from 1952 to 1977.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number three.
Now we are up to our three from way downtown. And today we are talking about downtown Liverpool, home of the Beatles, and specifically the hometown of the drummer that completed their fabulous foursome, Ringo Starr. After the breakup of the Beatles, Ringo had a very successful streak of singles while recording for the Beatles' own label, Apple Records. Once Apple's distribution deal with Capitol expired, the four Beatles agreed to stop releasing their solo records through Apple. As a result, Paul stayed with Capitol. George formed his own label, Dark Horse Records. John let all his contracts run out, and he took a break. Ringo, still on his hot streak, was all set to sign a new recording contract with ABC Records, the home base of his friend that we heard back at number 11, Danny Hutton of Three Dog Night. For unknown reasons, though, that deal fell through, and Ringo ended up with Atlantic in the U.S. and Polydor elsewhere. One of the benefits of Ringo's deal with Atlantic was that he was immediately able to work with the house producer for all the Atlantic distributed labels, Arif Mardin, whose production we heard back at number 9 with the Bee Gees. Just as he did with his two previous albums, Ringo got a little help from his friends in the studio. For this single, he enlisted his longtime bassist and friend, Klaus Voormann. Dr. John played piano and organ. Danny Korchmar Lamar was on rhythm guitar, and Peter Frampton contributed an excellent lead guitar. Just as he did on Ringo's number one hit, You're 16, Harry Nilsson sang and arranged the background vocals, with Melissa Manchester and David Lasley also singing background. Finally, a horn section that included the Brecker Brothers rounded out this fun little dose of rock and roll.
If your mama don't feel good, or your daddy don't feel good, take a dose of rock and roll and wash it down with cool Crisol. You better get your ripple soles out, ease out all your mean control.
With our three from way downtown, that was Ringo Starr and A Dose of Rock and Roll, which peaked in the mid-20s on the three major American charts, but should have reached number three across the board.
All Universe Top 40!
Number two.
Now we are up to number two, which means that we are going to play a song that we believe should have reached number one. It is a classic track from the 80s that demonstrated just how far apart traditional radio could be from MTV. When Sire Records released the song I Melt With You by Modern English, the accompanying video became one of the most popular videos on MTV, making the song a hit in the process. However, on the Billboard Hot 100, it peaked at number 78. Regardless of those numbers, it always sounded like a number one record to me.
Moving forward, using all my breath, making love to you was never second best. I saw the world crashing all around your face, never really knowing it was always mesh and lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen the difference and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing you and I won't do. I'll stop the world and melt with you. We should know better.
Dream of better lives, the kind which never hate.
We should see.
Trapped in a state of imaginary grace.
We should know better.
I made a pilgrimage to save this human's race.
We should see.
and it's getting better all the time.
With a song at number two that we think should have gone to number one, that was the four-man new wave act Modern English and their all-time MTV classic on Sire Records, I Melt With You. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a Grammy-winning single by the amazingly talented individual that we just heard singing background vocals for his friend Ringo Starr, Harry Nilsson. When the Beatles publicist Derek Taylor suggested to motion picture director John Schlesinger that he consider some Nilsson music for use in the new movie Midnight Cowboy, Derek meant that Nilsson should write a song for the movie. Schlesinger agreed to remind the execs that it would be a Nilsson song fading in at a particular spot in the movie. The producers placed a Nilsson track called Everybody's Talkin' from a year and a half earlier into the movie roughs. While they waited on Nilsson to submit his new song, the producers and director became accustomed to hearing Everybody's Talking and decided that it fit the movie perfectly, even though it was old and had bombed out at number 113 when RCA released it as a single. They could not have been more correct. It did, in fact, fit into the movie Midnight Cowboy perfectly. Once it was included in the film, it was re-released by RCA, achieving international success and ultimately winning Nilsson his first Grammy.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Sailing on summer breeze and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
With Everybody's Talking, our Grammy-winning Hall of Perfection track at number one, that was Harry Nilsson, a member of that notorious group of bar hoppers in the mid-70s known as the Hollywood Vampires that also included Ringo Starr, John Lennon, Keith Moon, Alice Cooper, Mickey Dolenz, and Danny Hutton. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.